Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. It's your favorite Wicked Wild Child, Tiffany Beth, and you're listening to The Wicked Edge. How is everybody on this fine day? I hope everybody's doing well, having a drink, having some laughs, embracing family and friends. I hope everybody's having such a great day. I know I am. We have an awesome show for you today. As you all know, I am a horror movie buff. And if you didn't know before, you know now. And today we have a director of horror movies. My favorite. Okay, one of my favorites. And his name is Richard Gray. And he is the director of the upcoming Mind Games. Now, I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm going to let him tell you about it. But from what I've read about it, I cannot wait to see this movie. It looks like a nail biter, a tooth cruncher, and a sit on your seat, holy crap kind of movie. I'm very much looking forward to it. And I can't wait for him to come on. He'll be calling in here in a little bit. And he'll tell you more about it. As well as tell you a little bit about himself. So, and he seems really, really kick-ass and cool, and I can't wait to have him on. Before we have him on, he should be calling in shortly. I want to tell you a little bit what the Wicked Edge is up to. The Wicked Edge is going to be at a couple of upcoming events, along with some other show hosts from various other shows. In August, we are going to be at the awesome Rolling Hills. That's going to be August 27th and 28th, I believe. No, I'm sorry, the 29th and 30th. We will be at Rolling Hills Asylum. Brian Cano from Haunt the Collector and Scared will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. That is in East Bethany, New York, right outside of Batavia. And Rolling Hills also happens to be one of our sponsors. They're great. They do ghost tours. They do movie nights. They're going to do music events. I cannot talk. Today, music events, it's going to be so much fun. And plus this event is going to be great. It's going to be for charity. You're going to investigate with Brian Cano. You could even investigate with myself. It's going to be a lot of fun. We do that on the side. You know, you gotta have a little spooktacular side to you, and that's our side. And then in September, we are going to be at the Binghamton Roberson Museum and Science Center for RoberCon. And that is going to be the 27th to 28th of September. And it's going to be both all 4 days. Passes for adults are $16. If you're a member, I believe they're $10. It's going to be so much fun. I believe Rod Sterling's daughter might be there, a bunch of other celebrities, other filmmakers, including us. We'll be doing a lot of broadcasts. And that is the Roberson Science Center, RoberCon. You're not going to want to miss it. That's going to be in Front Street in Binghamton, New York. That's in upstate New York. And that is also the 27th and 28th. Do not miss out. Also, just to give a couple of shout-outs to our sponsors, we already gave a shout-out to Rolling Hills, but you can't miss Rolling Hills because it's full of history. It's so much fun to go to. Sharon Farley takes care of the place along with her partner, Brad. They do a beautiful job taking care of it. They preserve history, and it's so much, again, it's fun. I can't say the word fun enough. And it's an East Bethany, New York, right outside of Batavia. It's 10 minutes from everywhere, yet in the middle of nowhere. Really kind of cool and interesting. So you're not going to want to do that. And you can go on to www.rollinghillsasylum.com for any events coming up, any tickets you can purchase for the event. You can also get listings of when she's going to have her movie nights, when they're going to have haunts, you know, captive and public. You can also see when she's going to do for Halloween. She always does the funnest stuff for Halloween, and you're not going to want to miss that. Also, the Caring Coaching Center. If you're looking to get a little healthier, whether it be in your mind or your body, the Caring Coaching Center is the place to go. Go to www.thecaringcoachingcenter.com and look over what Karen Kennedy has to offer you. She's amazing. She's not just a nutritionalist. She helps with everything. If you want to eat healthier, she'll help you eat healthier. If you want to lose weight, she'll help you lose weight. If you just kind of want to get mentally healthy and ease into physical health, but she'll help you do that. And you also, when you email her, get a free 15-minute health history consultation. And what that consultation will do for you is it will help her design a program specifically made to fit your needs. So whatever your needs are, that program is for you, and she's one-on-one. Everything is confidential. Nothing is public. You don't have to weigh in front of a bunch of people. You don't have to give a story in front of a bunch of people. You know, it's just you and her. And I think that's always the best because, for me, I always get self-conscious around other people. It doesn't matter what size they are, who they are. You know, I always get self-conscious. So having something confidential just for me is awesome. So go to www.thecaringcoachingcenter.com and look over what Karen Kennedy has to offer you today, because I can guarantee you, you're going to love it. So that's my happy today. Also, you know, we all know I'm a huge animal lover. Make sure you spay and neuter your animals. Make sure that you, if it's hot in your car, don't leave them in your car. And also with children, too, don't leave your kid in the car. If it's too cold, don't leave your kid or dog in the car or your cat or anything. Make sure you take care of them. They're innocent. They're helpless. Make sure, you know, you do right by them. Which also, to all you animals abusers out there who think you're going to get away with it, I hope your ass gets kicked really soon. And I hope karma meets you, because you deserve it, because you guys suck. Also, I just want to, on a serious note, my heart is broken. As everybody knows, we lost an icon, a kind and loving, gentle person. We lost Robin Williams, and it broke my heart. It really did. This affected me really, really badly, actually. I never knew him personally. I never talked to him. Or anything like that. I think maybe we inquired about him being on the show at some point. And unfortunately, you know, that will never come to light. But his work meant so much to me. You could always turn to Robin Williams' movies, majority of them, for laughter, his stand-up comedy. You know, his interviews always made you smile. Even through the serious stuff, it always made you smile. And I think, you know, laughter really sometimes can put things in perspective in a really interesting way. And we have lost one of the most wonderful, wonderful people. And it just breaks my heart. And I just want to say that my thoughts and my prayers are with him, his family, and his friends. It's just, it's so heart-wrenching. And, you know, a lot of things are coming out. I just read today that he might have had Parkinson's disease. He never made any, he always was very open about having depression, about having alcohol abuse and drug abuse. And he was very open and candid about that. And depression is a very real, real thing. You know, whether you have alcohol abuse or drug addiction or anything like that, you know, depression is real with or without that. And if you've never suffered from depression, you would never, ever, ever understand the emotional turmoil you go through, the pain. And people, I've read comments, and shame on you people for making horrible negative comments. Shame on you. How dare you judge somebody when you have no idea what the fuck they went through? Shame on you. How dare you? Because let me tell you something. Unless you suffered from depression, you have no idea what it's like. And there's all types of depression out there. And if you've never encountered or embraced one of them in your own way, you have no idea, no clue. Everybody's like, oh, well, he had millions of dollars and fans and people loved him and da-da-da-da. You know what? That's all well and good. And other people can see that. But when you're depressed in any way, shape, or form, you can't see that. You have an emotional battle going on inside of you. And you can't stop it. And sometimes all the medication in the world, whether it be self-medicated, prescribed, or whatever, does not help. And sometimes you're just lost in a deep, dark abyss. Sometimes you just think there's just no way out. And he was not a coward. He was not a coward. He was a man in pain. Whether he had Parkinson's and depression or just depression or whatever, he was a man in pain, and that's what matters. And shame on you for thinking anything else. It's horrible, horrible people like you that left mean and nasty comments on his daughter's Twitter is what's wrong with society and why this world is going to shit. So you know what? Do us all a favor and step a tailpipe if that's how you're going to be. And you take the coward's way out. because Robin Williams was nothing of a coward. He was a kind and gentle, loving man. He was a giving man. He was a brave soul. And he is nothing less than amazing. And he will always be amazing. I don't care what you think. And shame on you. Shame on you for feeling that you had the place to sit there and judge somebody. And not to mention leave the comments on his family's wall. People who loved him dearly. Shame on you. Shame on you. And you know what? Karma sucks, and I hope you meet karma. I know that's horrible, but people, but I hope they do. Because that's what they deserve. That is absolutely what they deserve. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you feel anything like depressed, and there's a difference between depression and sadness. There's a huge difference between depression and sadness. Depression is not something you just pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Sadness is. Depression is a whole other thing. And again, shame on you for trying to tell other people otherwise. But if you ever feel like you are in this dark abyss, and, you know, sometimes you can't see it, but people who love you do, talk to them, open up to them, you know, let them help you. Let them love you. I know it's hard, but let them love you. And if you feel like there's just nothing else you can do, just try to hold on. Try to hold on because there's out there, I know you can't see, but there's people that love you. There's people that want you on this earth, and you are beautiful, and you are talented, and you have so much to offer life, more than you could possibly imagine. I know you can't see it, but you do. And if you feel at all like, you know, you're coming to that tunnel and there's still no light, please reach out. Please reach out to somebody you can trust and somebody that loves you, because I can guarantee you they would want anything in the world other than to see you go. So that's all I'm going to say. I also want to reach out to people that, one second. Also, I just want to reach out to some of the people. 9/11 is coming up. 9/11 is something that is also touched on my heart. I am looking for anybody and everybody who has a 9/11 story, whether you're a survivor, you were somebody who helped rescue people, you were one of the people that helped clean up, you know, even if you were listening to the radio, I want you to call in and I want you to share your story, because every story is valid. And I think even if you weren't there at the Pentagon or the World Trade Center or anywhere, you still know where you were on that day. And that's what matters. So I would like anybody to call in with a story about 9/11. I would love it if some survivors could call in and share your story, because we are so glad that you're still with us and you're brave, and we want to hear how you're doing now. And I would like to hear your story, because we cannot forget that day. We cannot forget what happened. You know, I think we start to take things for granted, life for granted, when we forget the tragedy that we've seen that has taken so many. And we need to put things back into perspective. And we need to remember you, and we need to memorialize those we've lost, and because they're so significant, and you're significant. And we want to hear your stories, whether you're a survivor, you were a firefighter, you were a rescuer, you know, or you had somebody that you knew that was affected by 9/11, though we all were, or even if you knew where you were that day and you just want to share your story because it's such a significant time. Please, I want you to call in, and I want you to write me at www.dtmwicked@yahoo.com. That's www.dtmwicked@yahoo.com. And I want you to write me at that. Tiffany Beth, I want to hear your story, okay? It's dtmwicked@yahoo.com. And this is for anybody affected by 9/11, survivors, firefighters, rescue workers, people that have been affected in some way, shape, or form, or people who just want to memorialize where they were on that day and heard the news. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, and then we'll be back. All right, we are back, everybody. I know that was a long commercial break, and I apologize. But we're trying to get a hold of our guest, Richard Gray, the director of mind games. But unfortunately, he's unattainable right now. I hope whatever's keeping him, we can have him on later on. His movie sounds amazing and scary, and I love horror scary movies. So hopefully we can have him on at some point. But I have found another guest, and actually she's very, very dear to my heart. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm really, really ashamed of the people who wrote negative, horrible things on Robin Williams' daughter Zelda's Twitter account, emailed her horrible things. And I take depression very seriously. I suffer from depression. I have friends who suffer from depression. And just to give people an idea, I want to bring on my friend Lisa Wakeman. She works for the military in Virginia. She herself is a therapist. And I think together we could bring some insight on how serious depression is, whether it's caused by the fact that you have a disease or drug addiction or alcoholism. So hello, Miss Lisa.
Hi, Tiffany.
Thank you for joining me on The Wicked Edge.
Well, thank you for having me.
Anytime. We're so happy to have you. Lisa is one of my very, very good friends, and she's very, very smart, and she works with a lot of different people with a lot of different mental illnesses. And you obviously have heard about Mr. Robin Williams' passing.
Absolutely. I was shocked and saddened when I heard that he passed away, and then when I had learned that it was self-inflicted, I was just so terribly sad.
It kind of, it kind of drove a dagger into my heart, because even though I didn't know him personally, his work, we're so blessed that he shared it with us, but his work meant a lot to us because it made you laugh. It made you forget your sadness. So it's kind of one of those ironic things. He made you forget your pain when in reality he was in a lot of pain himself.
Right.
So, I don't know if you've heard, and I mentioned it just a moment ago, a lot of people said some hateful, horrible things about Robin Williams on his own daughter's Twitter and his own son's Twitter, saying how he was a coward and it's a coward's way out, and depression is really easy to just kind of snap your fingers and get better from. You and I know differently.
Oh, absolutely. You don't just get over depression, and you can't snap your fingers and shake your way out of it. It doesn't work that way.
No, it really doesn't. I hate, the word ignorance is such a good word to use here, because I hate the fact that people can be so ignorant and so cruel. Why do you think people take something like this tragedy and they make it into something hurtful and ugly and mirror it on to that person's family member? Where do you think people get off having that ability to do that?
Well, I think it's a combination of ignorance, and then I think also it's kind of one of those things that people do because, first, they don't understand. Second of all, it's easier for them to say, oh, it's a cowardly thing to do, because it makes it easier for them to understand without having to fully understand. So they can just say, oh, it was a cowardly thing to do. It would have been so much braver for him to have just stayed here on Earth. And what they don't understand is that, it was too much. It's too much. When someone finally gets to that point where they're like, there's no other option. It's not about cowardly or braveness. It's about mental illness. And so when people say these hateful things, it makes it easier for them to just brush it away and not have to confront it. Because the fact of the matter is, a lot of people have family members, friends, relatives who have committed suicide, and it's easier to say it's a cowardly thing than to really address it head on.
So it's more like a repression of their own sadness towards the event.
Absolutely.
And that actually happens a lot. And I still think it's a shameful thing to do. I really do. I think it's a shameful, hurtful thing to do, to be so mean and cruel to people, because, Robin Williams is anything but a coward.
Right.
He was a brilliant, wonderful man. But you're right. I do think, but that also goes to show that mental illness is a vicious cycle, that you repress your feelings, you don't have to bless you. You don't have to deal with a certain event. which can also make people want to be in denial of the fact that maybe they have something that could potentially end the same way.
Exactly.
That's
exactly. And, you know, if they potentially have something that could end the same way, like, and sometimes when people say those horrible things, they themselves are struggling with depression. And, you know, it's kind of their protective measure saying, oh, well, he was a coward, and that's why he ended his life. And, you know, even though I may be struggling with the same kind of issues, I would never do that.
And, you know, the irony of that is actually Robin Williams himself said that several years ago. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem,
mm-hmm.
Which just only goes to show you, depending on where you are mentally, anything can change,
right.
You know. And that's, and I think also that is a scary thing for people. Depression is very scary. Depression is very unpredictable because
right.
You never know what, and I hate, for lack of a better phrase, you never know what depression is going to make you do.
Right. Absolutely. And sometimes people, even if they are recognizing they're depressed, they aren't willing or able to say, hey, I need to talk to somebody about this. I need to self-medicate this, because society as a whole doesn't necessarily want to talk about it, and so it makes it hard for some people to reach out and say, hey, I need help with this.
Well, and that's what I did talk about earlier in the show, you know, and sometimes you if you don't mind me saying, you have suffered with depression. We still suffer from depression. We both do. It's not, and that's another thing. A lot of people, whether they want to be in denial about it or not, either don't understand or don't want to accept, that's a lifelong disease. It's a lifelong illness that comes and goes. It really does. It comes and it goes. And when it comes, it's dark and it's painful. And when it goes, it's almost like a euphoric thing. And you can't time it. You cannot time it. But sometimes it's hard to know when you need help.
Absolutely.
You know, people can point it out and say, you know, you seem really off, you seem really down, you know, is there something going on? And sometimes people in depression mode don't always know they're in depression mode. They just know they don't feel right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, as bystanders to those, that you maybe are recognizing some differences are occurring, asking that simple question of, are you okay? You seem really down. Like, you don't seem quite like yourself. And try to engage in conversation. And if the conversation sounds like maybe they are a little suicidal, being, you know, okay and not afraid to say, hey, listen, Tiffany, are you feeling suicidal? Like, you know, talk to me. What's going on? I think if more society was able to say those words and ask those questions,
mm-hmm.
I think we'd be moving in the right direction to maybe help prevent some of these suicides from occurring.
And I agree with that. But it's also kind of a double-edged sword, because those things can actually also be a trigger effect. So sometimes, and as you as a therapist touched on, you have to read between the lines. You have to listen for those key words of, you know, sometimes I don't feel like I should be living, or things like that. You know, those are key words where you're going, uh-oh, maybe this person is feeling like they kind of want to take their own life and just kind of end it. Because society has come to the fact where everything is very sensitive.
Right.
You know, so you have to, as you know, and you have to listen for those trigger words, those key words. And then sometimes that's an open way to say, are you feeling kind of like you just, you know, maybe you want to do other alternatives rather than, you know, take your medication. I think, you know, you need to listen for those doors and open that door then, because not all the time can you come out and say, do you feel like you want to kill yourself, or do you feel suicidal? You know, you have to listen for those hinted key notes to kind of jump off and say.
Yep, absolutely. You listen for those key notes, but research has shown, you know, that when you hear those keynotes, to ask that question straight out is not a trigger, because if that person is actually contemplating and putting together a plan to commit suicide, by asking them that question, are you thinking about killing yourself, does not actually trigger the individual to go, hey, I hadn't thought about that, maybe I should go do that. But instead might make them pause and go, okay, so somebody is is picking up on the fact that there is something going on with me, and mm-hmm. maybe I can start to talk about this.
That's a really, really good point. Now, I want to give the scenario because not everybody, I will admit that Lisa and I are extraordinarily close, and we can read each other very, very well. And we're very blessed to have that. You know, we have a very close circle of friends who can read each other very well and know each other enough to say something's not right with you. And it's not like we're calling each other out. We're guiding each other to, you know, a better way. Now, there are people out there that do not have that type of relationship but are suffering from illness. How would you direct somebody that maybe doesn't have a close-knit support and getting help and getting help and be comfortable about it?
Well, I mean, you know, every situation, every individual is completely different. And, you know, for those that maybe don't have a close, someone close that they feel like they can talk to, you know, I would always say there's the 1-800 helpline. Mm-hmm. You that's completely anonymous that you can call and say, hey, you know, I just need to talk to somebody about this. So if there's nobody that they feel like they can reach out to, maybe that's a good avenue to start. And, you know, outside of that, you know, if you have coworkers, you know, anybody that you feel comfortable enough. And when you're dealing with children, of course, you know, if the family isn't, perhaps the school or a friend. And then, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. There are a lot of helplines out there, a ton of them. And hopefully, you know, somebody would feel comfortable enough to call one of those helplines. And I understand it's not exactly comfortable all the time, but I would hope that somebody in deep darkness would reach out because, like, this whole thing with, you know, Mr. Robin Williams, it brings a lot of things into perspective. And illness is scary.
Yeah, very scary.
Absolutely. Now, for family members, and I kind of want to dive into a little bit of everything because we have to, you know, I want to make it a point to realize that a lot of people are affected when somebody takes their own life. It's not just that person and maybe one other person, a lot of people. When somebody in a family, you know, takes their own life, what kind of services are offered to the family members of how to deal with it? You know, because they're just as affected and you know, if not more, they're heartbroken and grieving and mourning. How do you go about helping the family members make it through such a difficult time?
I think the most important piece is to get with a good counselor who has a really good understanding of, first of all, grief, and then also how to deal with trauma. Because, you know, the family members that are left behind in this have significant grief and significant trauma. And, you know, the grief that they feel with it, it isn't just a cycle. It comes in waves. And so they need to get connected with a counselor who can help them navigate through those feelings. Because not only are they feeling that grief, but they're going to feel anger and resentment and hatred. And there's so many emotions that go along with, you know, because when you lose someone to suicide, the family members are left behind saying, like, well, what did we do wrong? What were we doing that, you know, wasn't enough for him or her? And so then they have guilt, and there's so many emotions.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the biggest thing. I think you've hit a really keen note, is those of us who have lost friends or family to, you know, a self-inflicted death, we often wonder, well, what could we have done more? What did we do wrong? What did we say? What didn't we say? And then people start putting the blame on themselves, and it becomes a very vicious circle.
Yep. And so working with that counselor, you know, they need to start working through those feelings to understand that they didn't do anything. And, you know, the person that committed suicide, like, that was their goal, and they achieved their goal, and nothing that, you know, the family did or didn't do could have changed that outcome.
You know, I have to point out with some people that may or may not be listening, the fact that if you have, you know, experienced a loved one taking their own life, you know, don't put the blame on you, because if they had this in their mind, where there's a will, there's a way. And they were going to do it regardless. Even some though, sometimes, you know, the people, they do seek help and, you know, they want to get better. Sometimes there really is just something inside of them that just, it's just not letting that piece of them that doesn't want to be here go. Nothing that anybody could do could change it. Where there is a will, there is a way. And I hate to bring this up because it is kind of gruesome. Again, you know, let's take Mr. Williams, for example. It wasn't like an accidental asphyxia. What he did was deliberate. And it wasn't fast. It was slow. And what he did took time, and he was determined. And I hate to say that, but with the details coming out, that's what it looks like and that's what it sounds like. When people do that, there's nothing you can do. There's that they have it in their mindset, and that's all. And nobody can really blame themselves because it wouldn't have mattered what you said or did or didn't say. That was it.
When they reach that depth of despair, there's, you know, sometimes there's just no coming back. And you know, there's the myth out there that with every suicide, there's always, you know, there's mm-hmm. always something, there's always signs, but that's not the case. There's absolutely those cases where you can see it coming. But there are a lot of people out there that quietly suffer and nobody knows.
100%. You know, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of people said, well, he never said anything. He never let on. Even his own therapist said, I thought things were going really, really well. I thought he was getting better. And sometimes those are the most deadly, and no pun intended, because mm-hmm. they don't want to be stopped, clearly. You know, and sometimes though it's not even they don't want to be stopped. Sometimes they don't even know they're going to do it until they're already in the process and they figured, well, I'm already here. And that's the God's honest truth. You know, that's the God's honest truth. I've seen where lots of people go, well, he could have been stopped. You know, whoever had taken their life could have been stopped, and that's not always how it is. And that's just a sad, sad reality.
Yeah.
For those separate, now, I do kind of want to delve into a little bit of the medical. For people dealing with any type of depression or illness, do you think medication is the answer, or do you think it's a help?
Well, every case and every individual is completely different. And I think in a lot of cases of depression, clinical depression, there's a medication piece, and then there's also a therapeutic piece to help learn some coping techniques and maybe some stress management. And so I think it's like, you know, it's not a one-stop shop where you're just going to get medicine and feel better. You know, there's some talking that needs to go on, some therapy. Sometimes clinical depression is triggered from childhood events that need to get worked through. Sometimes depression is situational. So I think it's definitely, you know, something that a qualified medical psychiatrist needs to address and work on a couple of angles.
That's very good. That's very, very good advice. Because I think a lot of people, and the reason I ask that question is because I wanted people to understand that there are different types of illness, there are different types of depression, there are different levels. I think when some people think of depression because they don't know a lot about it or they don't know anything about it at all, they lump people into one category.
Okay.
And that's not accurate at all. You know, everybody has different depressions, different levels of depression. You know, there's different variations of illness that require specific treatments and different types of treatments. There's new age treatment, there's old school treatment, there's Medicaid, there's a whole bunch. And, you know, sometimes people try the whole slew, but that's because they go through different levels. Depression is not something you can pigeonhole. It's completely vast.
Yeah.
Which can be a lot of illnesses. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say I agree with you wholeheartedly because there, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all depression. You know, you can have the manic depressive where you're up and down. You can have situational depression, like I said, depression connected to a traumatic event. Like in my own personal history, postpartum depression, which is now equally dramatic, but it's shorter in duration. And so there's a lot of different depressions and treatments.
Now, I don't know if you can share this with us, and if you can't, I completely understand because confidentiality is huge. Have you ever were you ever faced with somebody with a severe depression, and how did you deal with that as a professional and as a person?
Well, because I'm not a doctor, you know, my piece whenever I'm faced with someone who is going through major depression is safety assessment and, you know, kind of counseling, talking. And when it's to the level of, you know, hey, I'm suicidal, that's when I need to get the professionals on board to assist in that. But when I'm just working with someone who's got major depression, who's taking their medicine and working through their program and, you know, working on stabilizing, it's really just about being a supportive piece of their puzzle.
Absolutely. You know, I 100% agree. Lisa and I actually used to work together in a facility where we dealt with young people in depression quite a bit, which actually can be really, I found it to be very, very scary and heartbreaking because young people, depression is hard for everybody, but I feel young people, it's hard on the most because it's even harder for them to comprehend and understand what their mind and body are going through.
Right.
So, excuse me. Sorry, but I'm so glad you could join us today because I was very disheartened by the people leaving those horrible, horrible comments on Robin Williams' daughters and sons' Twitters and emails and, you know, and I do think you're right. I think it's repression. I think it's, you know, it's dealing with it by not dealing with it and passing on the blame.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I kind of do want to end the show on a positive note. Again, we were all affected by Robin Williams' death, and he was a great inspiration to us all. What is one of your favorite works of Robin Williams?
Oh, it would be either Mrs. Doubtfire or What Dreams May Come. It's just, I don't know. They're the ones that pop in my head.
Do you have any favorite lines from either movies that really kind of like either made you laugh or touched you?
All of them. I'm like trying to go through my memory bank. There's so many of them. Like I just have always like giggled over him.
He was always. I always loved every single movie he was in. My producer Dennis says he loved Hook and Jumanji. Those were very two.
Oh my gosh, Jumanji.
They were
and
good.
I still remember the first time because I always remembered him, you know, when I was younger as being this fantastic. He did these great kid movies, Patch Adams, all these fantastic, wonderful movies. And then the first time I saw him do stand-up comedy, I almost peed my pants. I was like, oh, my goodness.
I agree with you. I actually just today I watched I think it's his last stand-up comedy, and it was in Washington. It was called Robin Williams, Weapons of Self-Destruction, which I guess kind of now is an irony. But he's just hilarious. Like, I did not stop laughing for the whole hour and a half. I think I busted a gut because that and also he did one in 2001, and one of my favorite lines is, you know, the Statue of Liberty no longer is waving her arms saying, bring us your poor, bring us your broken, bring us your humbled masses. She's now waving her basically saying, you want a piece of me? And I'm like, that's awesome. And, you know, and then he said, some people say satire is dead. Satire isn't dead. It's alive and living in the White House. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. I love it. He always had, and he would just, every interview you watched, and I recently heard somebody on an interview, you know, reminiscing about Robin Williams. She said it was like interviewing Robin Williams is like pulling a cord and just letting him go because you just couldn't stop him. And we did inquire about having him on the show, and unfortunately that never came to light, and that breaks my heart. One of my favorite movies, you know, was The Birdcage. I loved The Birdcage. He was so funny. Him and Nathan Lane had the best chemistry. My favorite line from there is we had Gabe Burglars break in last night and I rearranged the furniture. Like, that's awesome. And so I want to leave tonight on a positive note. I do want to say, if anybody feels like they're feeling, you know, down, or if you think somebody's at a point in their life where they're feeling a bit helpless, please reach out to them. Reach out to them, give them love and compassion, give them support. If you feel that you're in a place where of no return, reach out. Reach out for support. There's never no end, and you are loved. And I just want to thank everybody for listening. Again, I just want to say, anybody who has anything to do with 9/11, please contact me, as we were going to be doing a memorial show the week of September 11th. My email is dtmwicked@yahoo.com. Please email me, Tiffany Beth. I would love to have you on the show. I want to hear your story, because it'll all be inspirational, because we cannot forget about that day. I want to give a shout-out to Robin Williams' family. You're in our thoughts and our prayers, and we understand, and we are so, so thankful that your father shared his work and his compassion with everybody, because, you know, it made everybody smile, especially in their last hour. So I want to thank again Ms. Lisa Wakeman for joining me on my show tonight. Thank you so much.
Again, thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm sure we'll have her on again at some point, because she's insightful and she's smart. I want to thank everybody for listening. Take care of your animals. Have them spayed and neutered. Spread the love. And don't forget to visit our sponsors, www.rollinghillsasylum.com and www.thecaringcoachingcenter.com. Peace out, everybody. Have a great night. If you want to hang on, Lisa, that'd be fine. You can edit it, right? Somebody on the show, sweetheart. I really appreciate it.
No problem. What's that?
Your insight was awesome. Our guest didn't call it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.